I want to start by saying I also don't look like Adam. We both got the memo to address the same this morning. No mai, haere mai. My name is Jeremy, and I like to party. It's been a while since I've said that, hasn't it? Thank you for those of you who know that. Whoever you are, wherever you're at, you are welcome in this place today. Hi, Tia. Tia's been really sick, so it's good to see her today. So we're going through... Oh, let me pray, because that's a great place to start. Oh, Masu Manda, Heavenly Father, thank you. I don't know there's much more I can say than that. Would you speak to all of us this morning? May we hear what you have to say, in Jesus' name. Amen. Right, we're going through a series called The Story Behind the Door. And you'll notice doors, if you're new to our church, they're not normally there. Every Sunday has been focusing on a door. Today we're going to look at the book of John, and my door is called, well, it's not my door, but the door that I will speak on today is It Is Finished. So, you'll see that up there. Let's just read John 19, and just the lead up, I just want to remind us, we've already had from 30 onwards this morning, which is great. Later, knowing that everything had now been finished, and so that scripture would be fulfilled, Jesus said, I am thirsty. A jar of wine vinegar was there, so they soaked a sponge in it, put the sponge on the stalk of the hyssop plant, just note that for later, and lifted it to Jesus' lips. When he had received the drink, Jesus said, it is finished. With that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. Now, last week, Adam spoke about being thirsty. And when we're dry and thirsty, where do we go? I really enjoyed that, Adam. That was a good contemplative message for me. Who do we turn to? We're reminded that the only other time, and I found that quite interesting, the only other time Jesus asked for anything was also a drink, and it was the woman at the well, the Samaritan. And then we read Psalm 22, which has been read again this morning together. The final words in that psalm is, he has done it. So here we are. These are possibly the most familiar words that you'll think of when you think of the crucifixion story. But do we really know what they mean? And I love that he says, it is finished, not I am finished here. So what has he done? And that's, we're going to go on a bit of a journey. I've been on a journey over the last couple of weeks. If I'm being honest, I was hoping to just regurgitate a sermon that I'd written quite a while ago, and God did not allow me to do that, and I've spent a lot of time doing this. So I hope that you get something out of this, as I have along the journey. Now, you'll be wondering why there's some artwork behind me. These two pieces have been done by a very good friend of mine, Tony Cribb. And this is him in the image in Hamner. The lady was like, oh my goodness, you're the artist to all this artwork I have in my shop. And so he took a photo with her, which is wonderful. He's running the marathon today. I want us to use this artwork to help us understand this idea of being finished. Now, I'm not an artist. Do we have any artists in the... Nice. Great. Lovely. We have a very, very talented church. But I do know that artists really struggle with the idea of finished. And that's what I've found out as I've had a chat with Tony. He's best known for his Tin Man artwork, which is this one behind me. He has since actually given up art for a while. He had a head injury, and it's made it very difficult for him. But this is what he says. He says, when I asked him, how do you know when you're finished? He said, it's very difficult to know when a piece of art is finished. He says, you add, you add, you add, you add, you oops. And which I think is very Tony. And he said, now it's ruined. Just that little bit extra, and it becomes incomplete. He says, one of the biggest skills to learn as an artist is knowing when to stop. Now, when an artist is finished, the artwork is done. It's never to be added again to. And selling a piece of artwork that has been worked on for months and even years becomes a piece of the artist. They don't turn up to the buyer's house with their brushes and paint and go, I just actually was thinking about this piece the other day, and I'll just fix it up. That's not how it works. That work is complete. It has been accomplished. It is finished. Now, Tony is not a follower of Christ, but this piece of art here, which is called Full Stop or Not, he wrote some things about it that I think are really interesting. This abstract painting is an atmospheric feel, perhaps cloud-like, perhaps lifelike. It encompasses the good times and the bad that we all experience as individuals. Halfway down the image is a row of white checkers symbolizing the finish line, also known as death. Below that again is a grey area focusing on the bottom right darker circle, aka the full stop, meaning that that's the end of the road. Your life is over and there is nothing more. But edging that full stop, there's a blue circle, which could be a portal that takes us on another adventure to an afterlife. Quite interesting, as he's contemplated and got very close to death, I think. I asked him if this piece was finished and could he add more, and he said, perhaps, but at the time he had a tingle. I love that. He had a tingle telling him it was time to put the paintbrush down, so he did. And it would be a complete waste of time for Tony to spend his energy worrying about that, thinking about that, wanting to change it. It is finished. Now, you'll all know this lovely lady, Olivia Diaz, and wonderful to see her husband representing the family today. She is the most incredible artist. She painted this piece of the pier in Brighton, which is just amazing. And do talk to her about her art. She is very willing to talk about it. I asked Olivia a number of questions as well about how she knows an artwork, a piece of artwork is finished. And for her, she said, there is a whole lot happening. Before a painting is finished, she said, it has to fully represent her big idea she had before she even started the painting. It has to be a completeness to what she imagined that image to look like. She said, it's a feeling that is captured well. It's a moment. And with the painting behind her, this is Littleton. She's just completed this recently. She said she was really unhappy with the grass and the reflection of the moon on the water. And she kept on putting it aside and coming back to it, knowing that it wasn't complete, until she was absolutely satisfied that that is exactly what she wanted to portray. She said it's both about the colour and emotion of a painting to know that it is finished. And the painting, she said, just flows. There's something, a connection that's made that flows when it's finished. She also said that she finished a painting a while back and after a few years came back to it after she'd learnt some new tools and trade secrets. But then when she reworked the painting, she said it was better before she played with it than afterwards, and she said she really learnt a lesson about leaving a painting alone and knowing it is finished and not adding those little bits extra. Who's ever done that? They've done something and then they've gone, oh, I'm just going to add something to that. Can I see a show of hands? Because oh, I feel like you're not human. You haven't tried enough. I have done that many, many times. So, Jesus is saying that his work is finished. And he says it twice in John. I don't know if you noticed. I want to introduce you to a Greek word. He said that he knew everything was finished, and he said that it is finished. Here it is. It's teleo. Can everyone say teleo? Nice. Thank you. It's the Greek word for finish. But it also means complete. It means fulfill. It means to bring to a close. It's often translated as accomplish or execute or conclude. It is done. Right, now we're going to go on a bit of a journey because these words are only found in the Gospel of John. And I want to kind of go through what Colleen would call hyperlinks, these kind of connection points throughout John that lead us to what on earth Jesus did to say it is finished. I didn't even see you there, Chris. Hi. It's Jules' mum. Just saying hi to people. Okay, here we go. So we go right back to the start of John. We've got this crazy guy. He's hairy. He is wearing weird clothing. He's eating locusts and honey in the Chosen. They call him Crazy John. It's John the Baptizer. And he's doing his thing at the River Jordan there. And then one day, it says this, the next day, John saw Jesus coming towards him and said, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Now, I don't know about you, but if I was there, I'd be like, what on earth is he talking about? That seems like a strange thing to say to someone. And an image of a lamb is not a lion or something that is great and mighty and powerful. It is a very meek image. It's a Jewish image. What he's relating this image back to is Passover. Now, for those of you who are with us for our 20-week journey of Exodus, you might remember some of this. Now, when the people of Israel were enslaved in Egypt, God sent a final plague to Egypt. The people of Israel would be passed over if they killed a lamb and painted the blood of the lamb on the doorposts. And what did they use? They used hyssop, right? There's this link that John is doing. We've got some hyssop here. Thanks, Jane. It's not really going to... Oh, there we go. So they would... it would be larger than this. This is a very common Middle Eastern plant. Dip it in the blood and they would... On the lintel and the sides of the door. It can just rest over there for a moment. So they would do that. Whoever was in that house, I want that to be really clear. Whoever was in that house was saved after this plague. So the sacrifice of lambs became a cornerstone of the Jewish faith. In the Jewish faith, animal sacrifice was used to atone for sin. The idea was that the animal carried the sin and it died, so did the sin. When this reference is made about Jesus, the implication is that Jesus would serve as a sacrificial lamb to atone for all of the sin in the whole world. Jewish readers and listeners at the time would have immediately gotten this reference back to Passover and probably gasped at the claim. So Jesus has a mission, somehow to be this lamb that dies on behalf of the others so that they will be spared. And last night when the sun went down, that was the start of this Passover week that we are now in right now for the Jewish people and for us, of course. Right, let's move on a couple of chapters in John. John 4, and this is the story of the Samaritan woman that we talked about last week. I'm just going to very quickly talk a little bit more about it. Firstly, Jesus came to talk to a woman, which was not customary of the time. Especially a married woman, that could put the whole relationship in disrepute. But also a Samaritan, which the Jewish people would see as outcasts and probably even called dogs. They were a mixed breed that were not welcome. After the conversation, she learns that he is the Messiah, and this beautiful, beautiful moment. But what I want to just point out is afterwards, when the disciples, his disciples came back. They were astonished that he was speaking to a woman, and as I've just explained. But one said, "What do you want? Or why are you speaking with her?" Then the woman left her water jar and went back to the city, I imagine running. She said to the people, "Come and see, this man has told me everything that I have done. He cannot be the Messiah, can he?" They left the city and were on their way to meet him. Meanwhile, the disciples were urging him, "Rabbi, you need to eat something." And he said to them, "I have food to eat that you know nothing about." Wow. Thanks, Jesus. That's helpful. So the disciples said to one another, "Surely, has someone already fed him? Like, what's going on here?" And he said to them, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to complete." Do you remember what the Greek word is there? Teleo. To teleo his work. To finish his work. That is his food. What motivates and energizes Jesus? Not food and water. It's doing the will of the one who sent him. And restoring people. Rescuing them and moving them from outcast to wholeness. This woman had not experienced anything like that before. So whatever Jesus is doing on the cross, it's dying in the place of others somehow. He's also finishing the work of gathering in, bringing these people in that haven't been involved necessarily before. He's welcoming, he's opening the way for the outcast to experience this shalom, this inner sense of everything is complete and entering the new kingdom. Now, as we read on, John 5 over the page, if you're in your Bibles, it says this, therefore, what Jesus has just done, he's just healed a man on the Sabbath. Also something that is not good for a Jew. Therefore, the Jews started persecuting Jesus because he was doing such things on the Sabbath. But Jesus answered them, "My Father is still working, and I also am working." For this reason, the Jews were seeking all the more to kill him, because he was not only breaking the Sabbath, but he was also calling God his own Father, therefore making himself equal to God. He is pushing so many buttons just in these few scriptures that we have read. And he's suggesting that even God works on the Sabbath. Whew. Until his work is done, right? It seems that when humans make laws that are more important than people, there's still work to be done. We need to still do that. If we made rules that people weren't allowed to sit on the stage, then Sanoa would not have been able to sing and do what she did this morning. Fulfilling the law, which is what Ali was talking about and praying this morning. Right. So, somehow, Jesus is finishing his work. He's including a man who was lame. He's restoring him back into the community. He's healing and bringing hope. He's doing it on any day of the week. He's healing people, restoring people, and bringing them back into the kingdom. So Jesus comes as a lamb so that those who would die would be spared. He's come to include those who would normally be not included, and he's come to heal and bring hope. This is what he's come for. Now, we need to skip a bit here and go to, this is another bit talking about but I've given, but I have a testimony greater than John's, and that's John the Baptizer, crazy John. The works that the Father has given me to complete, to teleo, the very works that I'm doing, testify on behalf that the Father has sent me. He's saying, this is my work that I have come to do. Right, John 17. Skipping a bit here, we're just before Jesus' crucifixion. And it's his final prayer for all those who decide to follow him. After Jesus has spoken these words, he looked up to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son so that the Son may glorify you. Since you have given him authority over all people to give eternal life to whom you have given me. This is the last piece, and this is the part I want you to hear. And this is eternal life. This is something I learnt this week. And this is eternal life, verse 3, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. That really got me. It's not going to this wonderful place away from everything. It's knowing God and being known by him. That's eternal life. Whew, that really challenged me. I glorify you on earth by finishing, by teleoing the work that you gave me to do. So now, Father, glorify me in your own presence with the glory that I had in your presence before the world existed. What a beautiful prayer. So his final piece of work here is to give eternal life to those who turn to him. And he says it's to be known and to know the one true God. And we can do that right now. That's the challenging part. The image of the Old Testament Messiah is that he will usher in a new kingdom. He will challenge those who are broken. He will die so that others can be spared. He will include and welcome others into this kingdom. He will restore, heal, and bring hope to those without it. And he will grant eternal life. This is to experience heaven on earth, to know and be known by the Creator, the one true God, inviting those who accept this into a living relationship with the Creator. That's the work he came to finish. And then we move into John 19, John 19 here, and we've already read this morning. He's brought his work into completion. He's died in the place of others so that others can be spared. He's removed the barrier between heaven and earth so people can find healing and hope in a restored relationship between God the Creator and humanity. Now the barrier in Jewish culture in the temple was a curtain that stood between the Holy of Holies and the rest of the temple. And in the other Gospels, we read about this temple, this veil being torn from top to bottom, signaling there was no longer a divide between God and it did make a good noise, Jane. But he didn't just do that. He did this. Yeah, that worked really well. I was hoping it wasn't going to take a few times. I'd pull a muscle or something. He opened the way for us to come into that place. How beautiful is that? But it doesn't stop there. This imagery should be vivid as we hear this proclamation. It is finished. These pieces of artwork on stage are finished. They're done. The artist will not add any more to them. The brushes and tools have been washed and put away. The work is complete. In the same way Jesus completed teleo, his work, there's no more for him to do. It is finished. But here's the temple being torn in Mark from top to bottom. I found this, I thought it was quite cool. As we come into communion this morning, how many of us live in that way of deep peace, of shalom? That we know the most important thing is already done. That completeness, that harmony, that wholeness, that perfection, that wellness, that peace that shalom means is teleo, is finished, is paid for. How many of us know that it is finished? Because we don't live it, do we? I was really challenged by this. I know Greg was too. So what do? We're going to take communion and remember that Jesus finished his work. But if the finished painting represents the finished work of Christ on the cross, I think some of us turn the painting around sometimes. I've definitely done this. We don't want to look at it. We want to do our things our own way, and we don't want to feel guilty. Yeah, he died, but I still want to have some fun. I still want to do my things. And on Sunday, I'll turn the painting back around on Sunday. But then Monday, it's back facing the wall again. I'll turn it around when I'm with my church friends, but then when I'm at work or doing my other things, I'll just spin it around. The rest of the time is mine to do with what I please. I don't know if that sits for you. I've definitely been there. Another response might be that we're just sitting at the painting. We're stuck there. We're looking for flaws and critiquing. We're adding our own little bits to the artwork. It's not completed. I'm still broken. I'm hurting. It's not good enough. It doesn't quite cover my shame. Maybe it does for others. My loneliness, my pain, my past. We're stuck looking. And I want to tell you, I've been in both of these camps. And it's time to realize what Jesus has done. His work is finished so that we can do our work. To put God first, to love others, to love ourselves, to forgive others and ourselves, to be a blessing in this world, to bring the kingdom of shalom to earth right now, to know and be known by our Creator, to live it out. Do you know that a number of Jewish people are still waiting for the Messiah? Because when they look at the world, it's broken and it's a mess. And they say, how can the Messiah have come? It's a great question. We've got work to do to prove that he has come. That's our job. It's up to us to be shalom when there is none. Jesus told us that our painting is to go and make disciples, baptizing and teaching them, because he's with us. And even this morning in our prayer time, Adam talked about Matthew 5, the Beatitudes. Those are the people, that's the call, to be broken and hurting in a world that is broken and hurting, and love them. Love us. I want you to think about that as we take communion this morning. The night Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread and he broke it and he gave thanks and he said, "This is my body given for you. Eat it and remember." In the same way, he took the cup and he said, "This is the blood of the Lamb of a new covenant between God and his people. Drink it and remember me, because it is finished." There are a few locations where you can come and take communion this morning, and I encourage you to sit in the finished work of Christ, realizing there is work to do. Do that when you're ready. And sustaining us as active participants that belong to your kingdom. We thank you that through you, our relationship with Creator God is restored. We thank you for your finished work and the work you've called each of us to complete. I thank you for every person here, Lord, and listening online and watching. Your artwork, they are beautifully designed in your image and created for a purpose. Use us to further your kingdom. We pray this in the name of the one who completes us, to Leo, Jesus Christ. Amen and amen.